Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks here on 1-2 Radio, where hopefully we are changing the way we view, the way we perceive, the way we listen to the world. Because indeed, we really are shaping it. It's our story. This is September 24th, 2024. And on today's show, we are going to look at the cosmic dance for this week ahead and beyond. But unlike, you know, some of the previous weeks, we don't have as much going on. I mean, you know, last week was just really action-packed with the, you know, solstice or the equinox and the, you know, sun moving into Libra and an eclipse and all kinds of stuff going on. But you know what? Every single day, every single week, we have things that we can pay attention to and use astrology or something similar to it as our lens for looking at the world. So that's what we do on this show. We use astrology as a second language. And we're going to talk a lot about that today because Mercury is a planet that I really want to focus on or to just kind of get into the groove of Mercury. And the reason is because Mercury is going to move into Libra on Thursday, September 26th. But even more than that, it's doing some other things that I want to point out to you. And speaking of which, I know that we have a whole hour together, or at least, you know, 55 minutes, and, you know, try to cover as many things as possible. But usually there's a focus on this show of where we're going. But there's lots of things going on that I think are really helpful or useful. In fact, it's kind of funny. Sometimes I don't go back and read the article that I write every week for Mark's Power Peak. But a lot of times I do. I mean, even though I've got all the astrology laid out in front of me, you know, on my desk as I'm working or as I'm thinking. And, you know, I many, many times if I'm not in my office, I come running into the office going, where was that moon? What's going on today? But a lot of times I do. I pick up that article and I read it. And sometimes it's almost kind of funny because it feels like, when did I say that? Or, you know, it's it is almost like it's channeled information. And I think sometimes it truly is. I always say that I have a writing team. And as I'm sitting and I'm looking at the, you know, the week ahead and writing something for Mark's Power Peak, sometimes I literally do say something and I go, I don't know where that came from. I just don't know where it came from, but I know that there's somebody in the audience that needs to hear that particular thing. And oftentimes, in fact, somebody will write me and they'll even say, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And so I thought, that's why that got put in there. But, you know, it was sort of like it was one of their guides or their angels or something that just kind of put that into my head and I put it down on the piece of paper. But speaking of Mark's Power Peak, I do like to plug that because that is a free newsletter. You might consider it a blog. It's available on the internet. You sign up for it on 12listen.com. Comes out every Saturday evening, and it literally will detail everything that's going on the following week in terms of the moon and the planets and at least my take on astrology about what that means for the week ahead. But also there's a number of articles written by metaphysical, spiritual people, people who want to be responsible for how they're shaping their perception of the world. So I would really encourage you to check that out if you haven't before. And if there's new people listening today, welcome. And again, that is Mark's Power Peak. And you can find it on 12listen.com. There's a link right there where you can sign up for it. So, and don't worry, Mark does not sell his mailing list. You won't get a whole bunch of, you know, stuff coming to you because of that. But you might want to check it out. So as we look at the cosmic dance for this week, what we've got is, I mean, setting the stage, here's what's happening. We're heading into the fourth quarter of the lunar cycle. So here again, as we just kind of, you know, clear the stage, so to speak, and just set what's going on. So where are we in terms of the moon? Well, we're moving into the fourth quarter of the lunar cycle. That actually happens 10 minutes before noon today. Now, what that means is that we've been through 3 weeks. And you know, these lunar cycles, they don't have to be the be-all and end-all, but it really does help us kind of figure out what's going on. Because, you know, in the first week, we're really, we're starting something new. We're putting something into place. Or maybe even an old project, we're picking it back up again and we're really working on it. Then we get into the second week where we kind of have to at least stop and assess, hey, are we going in the direction that we want to go? And by the time that we get to the full moon, we get the whole glory of, okay, you know, where are we right now? What is the greatest light? What is the greatest intuition, in a sense, that we're understanding about where we are? Then after the full moon, you might think about it, just like the moon starts disseminating its light, you know, like literally every night it gives away a little bit more of its light as it heads toward the new moon. Well, we do the same thing. So if you're in the, you know, if you've got a project or if you've got something that you've completed, because sometimes a full moon literally will be the completion or it'll be a view of what that completion looks like. So now we're ready to sell it. We're ready to take it to the world. Or maybe we're just ready to, maybe we formulated a personal philosophy or an opinion. And now we're ready to talk about it. So the dissemination phase is where we're kind of, you know, putting it out in the world. Well, then once we get to the fourth quarter, literally in many ways in our lives, we're wrapping things up. Now, of course, every single month, it's not like we're wrapping every detail up in our lives. But, you know, this is a really nice kind of calendar and process that every month, every 29 and a half days, we can go through this and say, okay, now as we hit this fourth, you know, cycle, this fourth quarter, you know, are there things that I can tie up? Are there things that I can release? You know, and I know with clutter clearing, I'm a big fan, probably because I need to do a lot of it, but it's not about necessarily having to do it all at the same time. I mean, you know how sometimes you just go, oh my God, I just can't even think about tackling that closet, or I just can't think about tackling something. Well, oftentimes it is so therapeutic to just do one thing, like clean out a drawer. You know, just clean out a drawer. Or you've been saying, hey, I've got way too many shoes and I want to simplify that. Then go through your shoes, or just go through your summer shoes, or just your winter shoes, or all those boots maybe that you do or do not wear anymore. So a lot of times it's just about one simple thing. You don't have to overwhelm yourself. But during this cycle, know that, you know, for some people that are very sensitive, they really do notice how the moon is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller every evening when they see it in the sky. And the light is diminishing until we get to the darkness, the complete darkness of that new moon. And when you think about that darkness, think of it as fertility, because that's the opportunity on a new moon to actually conceive of something new and do something new. But is there something you'd like to have a little cleaned out? Maybe it's just the refrigerator. Maybe it's just a shelf in the refrigerator. Or maybe it's one cabinet, or like I said, one drawer in your bedroom, or whatever it is. You don't necessarily have to tackle everything. But just keep in mind, we are in the fourth quarter of the lunar cycle until next Wednesday, which is going to be the new moon, which, spoiler alert, it's also going to be a solar eclipse. Which brings me to the other point. We're actually in that valley between two eclipses. Now, you know that every year we have sets of eclipses. Sometimes eclipses come in pairs, most often. Every once in a while, they're trios. And when they're trios, that means that we have a new moon, a full moon, and a new moon eclipse, or we'll have a full moon, new moon, full moon. So this year we don't have those kind of trios. It's just a couple of sets of pairs. The set that we're in right now, we already had the full moon lunar eclipse at 25 Pisces. That was last week on Tuesday, September 17th. But now we're in that week in between, because we're moving towards the new moon solar eclipse on Wednesday, which is October 2nd. Now that one, if you want to be, you know, in the know, that's going to be at 10 degrees of Libra. And that's going to be around noon Pacific time. So once again, when we're, you know, I always say it, and this time more so than, I mean, literally for years, I think, I notice around eclipses, information starts coming. Like there's synchronicities. There's little things that happen, you know, that get my attention. somebody pops into my life that hasn't been there for years, or I get a message from somebody, or I run into somebody, or, you know, just all these little synchronicities seem to start happening, or at least I'm noticing them more than usual. And oftentimes they really are significant, even though I may not know what their significance is at that time. And I really do stress that, because I just got some amazing stories about people that, you know, something happens and they don't pay too much attention to it. And then weeks later, months later, or maybe even a year later, we're looking at their chart and it's like, oh my gosh, there was an eclipse going on. So, you know, those eclipses, and remember, planets don't do anything, but they do reflect mass consciousness. And oftentimes they reflect something in our consciousness. And so all of those little messages that are coming, they seem to really flow before the eclipses start. And then during that, the week that we're in right now, and as we get to the next eclipse that's coming. So I would say this is a time, you know, usually those eclipses can be powerful new beginnings. Not just your everyday, every month new beginning. It can be something profound. It can be something important. And once again, don't struggle. Don't struggle to figure it out. I mean, truly, when you're talking about the moon, you're talking about intuition. So just be open and receptive and see what comes your way. But if there's something that's kind of bugging you, like I want that desk cleaned up, or I want that shelf cleared off, or I want to get rid of those movies or those books or whatever it is, then just, there again, use your intuition. If something's coming to you, then check that out, or clear it off, or do whatever you need to do to be ready for the new moon next week. Which brings me to this week's mantra. I'm calling it get out and check it out. And that's because when I write, I just open myself up to the messages. What's going on this week? What is the mood? What do we need to pay attention to? And what I kept getting is hands-on experience, especially with work and productivity. And what that felt like to me is, it's not about going through the motions of your work. It's like, understand what's really going on. Know what you're talking about. See it for yourself. And like, for instance, I kind of had these visions of people saying, you know what, I want to go check out my accountant's office. I want to go to the lawyer's office. I want to see where some of this work is being done. Or here's a vendor that is providing something to me, or I'm providing something to them. I want to see where they're selling it. I want to see their little store. I want to see, you know, this psychic fair where they're working. It just this sense of, I don't want to be in this isolated space of here I am doing my work and off it goes. But I really want to know what the whole circle is. I want to know how it looks someplace else. And I don't know what that means for everybody, because, you know, obviously if you're working or volunteering or whatever you do in your life, there's lots of ways to connect those dots. But it really felt to me like this is a week for field trips. You know, this is a week to get out of the office, to get out of that production mode, not because we're not being productive, but just like, get out of it, you know, touch it, feel it, taste it, whatever it is, you know, it's like really get into it. Do you know, like if you are producing something, do you know how it's being used? Do you know what it looks like? Do you know how it's being displayed in a store or any of those things? I mean, that's what kept coming to me about this week. So it's like, get out and check it out. So before we move on, though, I do want to invite you to meet me over on Facebook in our private group, which is 1-2 Radio. If you have not ever joined, all you need to do is kind of do that electronic digital knock on the door and say, hey, I want to join your group. And our producer, Jay Barbell, will be there and he'll let you in. We do use that particular space during our live radio shows here on 1-2 Radio. And so you're welcome to join me and make a comment or ask a question. Now, as everybody knows who listens to my show, sometimes I'm not such a great multitasker, but I do try to get over there and say hello to everybody. And James, thank you for being here today. And Leslie and Judith, thank you so much. Let me see. Judith is saying, you know something? I think in the week ahead portion of the Power Peak, you said Venus enters Scorpio, and it freaked me out. Now, why would that freak you out? You know, And then she said it must have been a typo. No, and I do think Venus is in Scorpio. It sure is, as of Sunday the 22nd. Now, I'm not sure why that freaks you out, because it's deep. I mean, it's actually wonderful. Venus and Scorpio is always different depending on what the signs are. But Venus and Scorpio just means we're really deep. We're very thoughtful. And maybe we're really, really attached, you know, to things. That's what I'd say. Scorpio is always attached to things. You know, it's like all or nothing with Scorpio. So, yeah, Venus is in Scorpio. And so don't be freaked out about that. It's just the way it is. And then, hello, Alishea, thank you so much for being here today. So we're not going to focus too much on Venus in Scorpio, but I do want to assure you, Judith, that it's actually, it's great. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I would say when I first started studying astrology, I truly had my preferences. And I'm not going to say that I don't now, but I have really learned, you know, it's like you get into it, you study it, you look at it, you look at people's lives who were born with that kind of energy. And there's always something really wonderful and exciting and thrilling about each and every placement. You know, the planets in all the different signs. And just think about it as, you know, I love it. I've got some books that have suggested this, and I love it. It's really very much like a stage play. I mean, if you consider all those planets, they all have their own personalities. You know, so Venus in particular says, hey, I want to attract things into my life. I want to be the ultimate of the feminine principle. And the feminine principle in terms of I attract what I want. I'm a magnet. I make myself attractive. I kind of wardrobe myself. I envelop myself in whatever the energy is. So Venus, you know, as an actor on the stage, goes to the director and says, okay, where do you want me? Well, the director says, hey, Venus, go over and stand in the constellation Scorpio. Go to wardrobe first and, of course, get your clothes. Then she's going to look different than if the director sends her over to Cancer. Or if the director says, hey, you're going to be in Aries today for this particular production. And if you think about it that way, every single planet has an energy, or they're an actor. But they're going to be dressed differently. They're going to have different motivations. You know, are they in an earth sign? So they're going to be pragmatic and practical. Are they going to be in a, you know, when you look at the water signs, emotional? Are they going to be sensitive and receptive and intuitive? You know, and you look at the modality. Are they cardinal, which means they're very assertive? They're the beginning of a season. That's how we think of it astrologically. Or are they fixed? So they say, you know, it's my job to hold the energy here. It's my job to hold things in place and not let them move around too much. Or are they mutable, which is, it's my job to be the bridge between one thing and the other. So, you know, I can see both sides of the picture. But anyway, if you think of it as a stage play, yeah, we may prefer when, like even our favorite actors and actresses, we may prefer when they're acting a certain role. You know, in fact, I've been watching some Humphrey Bogart movies, some of the older ones, and he made 75 movies. In, you know, he was 59 when he died, I think 57, 59, but he made 75 movies. And, you know, so often he really was cast as the gangster. But then you see him in something else and you realize he also was a leading man, you know, or he was a romantic figure. You know, there were just so many things. But you ever see somebody in a movie and you go, I just can't see him that way. I mean, it's really, really hard. In fact, if I remember right, Cary Grant was in a movie that Alfred Hitchcock actually had to write change the end. It was very, very early on in his career. But he had come to the United States to direct, and the studio basically says, if you make Cary Grant the killer, then you can't have him. You can't use him. And so Hitchcock actually changed the end of the movie to make him not the killer, even though he was during the whole movie. And I often thought, I can't believe Alfred Hitchcock did that. He probably never did it again in his life. But it's the same kind of thing. We want these characters to look a certain way. So, Judith, when you say, oh, Venus in Scorpio freaks me out, well, maybe it's because, yeah, you don't like to see Venus in a role that just doesn't feel as comfortable. But you know what? You might also ask yourself, why? What is it that would freak you out? Or what is it that would make you uncomfortable about that kind of energy? And most importantly, don't judge yourself for it. It's okay to say, I don't like vanilla. I don't like blueberry. I don't like whatever. I don't like pickles and mustard. So it's not about judging, just saying, you know what, that's an energy I'm not comfortable with. Now, if you want to change something about it, you can. But you know the other thing, Venus doesn't stay in a sign for very long. So you really don't have to worry about it for too long either if you don't particularly like that kind of energy. So let's move back to Mercury, though. See, this is why I can get totally off track, but I hope that was helpful. So with this week, part of that, you know, hands-on experience, get out and check it out, is because I love kind of the synchronicities and the way things work astrologically. Mercury is going to move into Libra on Thursday. But if you remember last week's show, if you were listening, we talked about the fact that Uranus, one of those outer planets, moves very, very slowly, and that's more relative. It's not that Uranus moves slowly, it's just that it's really far away from the sun. So, of course, it takes it a long time to go around the sun. So it's in the very, very last degrees of Taurus. I think it's at 27, maybe 28. Then Neptune in Pisces, also one of the outer planets, she is at the very end of Pisces, 28 degrees. And Pluto, 29 Capricorn. So we've got these three planets that to me really set the stage. They kind of, sometimes I call them wallpaper because it is like their background and we may not notice them on a daily level. They're not like right in our face like the moon or Mercury or Mars or Venus. However, they're setting a tone. And all three of those outer planets are sitting at the very, very end of their signs. And to me, that's profound and it's important. And it's important because we know, and this is what we talked about last week, during 25, they'll all be in a different sign than they are now. And even though they'll go back and forth with those retrogrades, by 26, all three of them will be, you know, safely, securely in whatever that new sign is. And that's significant because those are changes, like with Pluto, that doesn't happen except every 12 to 20 years. You know, Neptune stays in a sign for 14 years. Uranus stays in a sign for 7 or 8 years. So when you say we're looking at some new energy coming in 25, we're not kidding. That's really new energy. But what happens when those speedier planets, let's put them that way, those ones that are closer to the sun that just go from sign to sign to sign every single year, what happens every time they change signs? They're going to make connections to those three planets sitting at the end of the signs. And so what happens this week? Mercury in Virgo is going to trine. It's going to make a really positive connection to Uranus, the planet of individuality, the planet that helps us break free of things in our lives, things that are restrictions or boundaries or barriers. Mercury is going to trine Uranus on Tuesday. Then it's going to oppose Neptune in Pisces on Wednesday morning. Which means, you know, it's definitely going to, it's going to be this push-pull. Neptune says, you know, get to your intuition, get to your spirituality. Mercury in Virgo is saying, I like it to be rational. But that opposition is really saying, okay, how can you combine those two things? They don't have to fight. They can be partners. Can you pull those energies together? Then Mercury trine, another really positive connection to Pluto in Capricorn on Wednesday night. And so, you know, as I look at it, it's almost like I imagine, here's Mercury trying to get out of Virgo. He's packed his bags. He's trying to make it into Libra. But he's getting all these marching orders from these three planets. They're suggestions, or maybe, you know, they're forging partnerships. But that's how I kind of imagine. It's almost like they're meeting up and saying, okay, here's my last minute instructions. Before you leave Virgo, this is what I want you to know, or this is what I want you to think about. And especially think, because Mercury is the thinking planet. It's a communication planet. It's about the mind and how we connect the dots. So I think that's interesting that Mercury is going to connect with all three of those before it goes into Libra. And I can't tell you exactly what that's going to mean on the world stage or for you, but It's not nothing. Let's put it that way. You know, and it is something that kind of just adds a dimension. And that's it, adds another dimension to our thinking and to what's going on for us. But then Mercury will enter Libra on Thursday. And remember too, Mercury does move pretty quickly. It stays very close to the sun. You can always find Mercury like in the same sign as the sun, or the one before it, or after it. Because it's never going to get, I don't remember by degree, but it's never going to get too far, like maybe 45 degrees or so. It's never going to get too far away from the sun. And so that's why you're always going to, you know, see it hanging out somewhere near the sun. And also, it's only going to be in labor for 17 days. I mean, that's not really very long. What is that? Like 2.5 weeks. It's going to stay there till October 13th. So this is a planet that just continually gives us something new to think about, something new to experience, because it moves pretty quickly when it's not moving retrograde. Now, I also think Mercury kind of, it likes Libra, because Libra is an air sign, and Mercury is very much of an air energy because it's communication. You know, think about it. It's a messenger kind of flying through the air, whether it's in person or it's through a digital or electronic communication. Mercury is flying. Mercury also represents the nervous system in our body. And think about that, how quickly things connect through our nervous system. You know, our body, you know, is continually communicating with itself. You know, some sensation in your toe is like up into your brain immediately, right? In fact, I'm always amazed at how quickly anesthesia works. You know, like for instance, you know, they plug something into your arm and say, okay, you're getting sleepy. You don't even hear the end of the sentence. It's that quick. Well, that's how Mercury is. But Mercury in Libra then takes on all those qualities, or once again, the director said, okay, Mercury, go dress like a Libra. And so what is Libra about? Libra is ruled by Venus, the planet of attraction. So how does Mercury want to be attractive when it's actually in a sign ruled by Venus? Well, this is a sign that's all about balance, keeping the peace, being charming, being the diplomat, having grace, being cultural, being social, getting out there and mixing it up with people. And one of its main characteristics, and if you know the mythology, you know, it's about Paris who had to make a decision about who was the most attractive goddess, so to speak. And I'm not going to go through that whole story. You can look it up. But, you know, poor Paris was put in a position of having to choose, and he didn't want to, but he did. But the characteristics that Libra is endowed with are the ability to listen to multiple opinions, multiple sides of an issue. And so that ability to really remain somewhat neutral. And here again, remember, sometimes I talk about Libra as being somewhat emotionally detached. Now that's really pushing the envelope. She's not emotionally detached. However, she's mental. It's an air sign. And so Libra is a little bit better than some of the other signs about just hearing things. I can listen to your opinion. I can listen to your thoughts. I can listen to the jury say this. I can listen to one lawyer say that. I can arbitrate things. I can sit in a meeting and I can listen to both sides. I can see what these people want and what those people want. I can maybe pull all those ideas together. So the ability to be able to listen to multiple opinions, two sides of a story, it can come in really handy. Not only in social situations, but in professional ones as well. Or maybe it's even just settling an argument between your grandchildren, that kind of thing. It gives you the ability to be the diplomat, to be the arbitrator, to be a facilitator. But of course, what happens is that's one of the reasons Libra also can be indecisive. Why? Because I think there's two factors there. Not only do they want to be fair, and so they're constantly adjusting those scales to make sure that they're being fair, but they also want to make sure they haven't left something out. What if there's one more piece? What if there's one more message or one more piece of information that I didn't consider? Am I ready to make this decision? So sometimes you get those, you know, especially somebody who has a lot of Libra in their chart, they may be very indecisive. It's just hard for them to come down until they're really sure that they've heard about the whole thing. But when Mercury is in Libra, what are we going to be talking about? What are we going to be thinking about? Well, once again, those Venus kinds of things, what Libra is about, which is relationships and partnerships, love, romance, parties, get-togethers and social events. We might be talking about the upcoming holidays and how we want to spend them, or, you know, something that we want to plan, something we want to put together. We might also be thinking about things, you know, I consider Libra the sign of being the interior decorator. You know, along with Taurus a little bit, but certainly Libra. And by the way, Taurus is also ruled by Venus, but it's Libra that maybe does a little more of this. But how I'm going to paint the bedroom, how I want to rearrange the furniture, how I want to update my space. And so there's lots of other things we may be thinking about and talking about. We certainly, by the way, though, the other factor that, you know, when you look at balance and fairness, you got to look at the end result, and you've got to look at that one side that says justice. So there again, we think, you know, we're thinking about peace, but maybe it's because I have to do something radical to get to the place of peace. You know, so some people might be thinking a lot about something that's a little more radical, a protest, really getting involved with something. Because if those scales, think about, you know, Libra is the only sign that is represented by basically a mechanical thing rather than a person. It's the scales of justice. And so if those scales have gotten way off in your life, or if you feel like they've gotten way off in the country, in the world, then you may be really wanting to use that cardinal energy of Libra. We've got the sun in Libra now too. So using that cardinal energy to do something, to readjust those scales. So, you know, don't get kind of pulled into this idea that signs are very multifaceted. And Libra has that beauty. You know, she's the party girl. She's dressed up, you know. She's wearing the wonderful outfit, so to speak. But she could also very much get into kind of her opposite sign of Aries and be a warrior because she wants the justice. Now, she's not really likely to dress up like an Aries, but in her heart, that may be a little bit about what she wants. You know, she wants to find some justice. So some people maybe get, you know, maybe really fired up. Maybe they're the ones out there knocking on the doors for the political candidates and that kind of thing. And you might just hear discussions get very, very heated as people are passionate. There again, Venus, you know, is very attached to our passions. You know, what do we think is really important? What are our values? I want to argue for them. Maybe a month or two ago, I didn't care. Now, all of a sudden, it's like really top and center in my mind. So that could be that too. Another thing is, I think a lot of communication happens when Mercury is in an air sign. So when she's there, we have this feeling we want our partners, we want our colleagues, we want the people we come in contact with. You know, we want them to talk, we want to discuss things, we want to go back and forth. Now, I don't know, you could kind of watch for it. Like, are you standing in the line to get a coffee and all of a sudden a complete stranger is talking to you? I don't know. I mean, that may or may not happen, but I just think we expect to have communication. So this is not the time we want a partner or somebody important in our life to go silent. Like, what are you thinking? What's going on in there? And it often makes me think, actually, when Mercury and or Venus goes into Libra, that, you know, those scenes that you sometimes see in the movies where the couple meets and they talk for hours and hours and hours and hours, right? Well, that's kind of what it is. I think that's kind of a dream come true for Libra, for Mercury and Libra, but also for Gemini and Aquarius, the other two air signs, because of course we want, you know, it's like, what? I want a connection with you. You know, it's physical is great, but I want a connection. I want our minds, our brains. I want something a little bit more. But no doubt Libra is, you know, that sign of diplomacy and grace and beauty and culture. So we might be talking about going to museums, or maybe we're interested in doing, you know, either participating in or going to dance recitals or music or theater, whatever it is. All of those things are Libra. But also don't lose sight of the fact she's a cardinal sign. And I say that because cardinal are those signs, Aries, Capricorn, you know, they are the ones in Cancer and Libra. They are the ones that start a season. And so there's a push, there's an assertiveness, there is a strength there. So there again, it's not just like this pushover energy, not at all. Remember that she's motivated. And so we're also idealistic under this influence, you know, idealistic. And there again, I think of Virgo. I know a lot of people don't. I think of Virgo as being incredibly idealistic. But every sign has that somewhere. And with Libra, I think we definitely are. Because in fact, here again, sometimes when you see somebody who has a lot of Libra energy, it's almost like they're a little ballerina. And I don't mean to say that facetiously, but, you know, almost dancing through life. And when you mention something that's not nice, they go, la, 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 I can't hear you. You know, that kind of thing. We can get into that kind of energy. So Libra, we want to be idealistic. We want to believe in something. We want to think it's possible to have peace on earth. We want to kind of take some of those high ideals that maybe got infused during a Virgo cycle, and we want to believe that they can really be true. They can really be brought down to earth, or rather we can climb up to them, whatever you want to consider it. Now, of course, that's pretty hard, right? You know, when we want to ground those dreams, there again, we may be walking around in our tutu, or we may be walking around in this kind of fog, or this feeling of, you know, life is beautiful and whatever. And I'm not saying that it's not. In fact, I think it's very much of an attitude. It's just an attitude, and we get to decide how we're looking at life. Life is neutral. We get to decide what it looks like. But Mercury, like the other planets, under the influence of artistic and cultural Libra, it wants life to look and feel beautiful. However, now here's you know, kind of bringing it back down to ground, but I want to share a couple of things, you know, some of the people, if we get the chance at the end of the show, who have a Mercury in Libra. But one of them is Bill Gates. And I'm interjecting this quote of his right here because he says, life is not fair. Get used to it. No, that sounds a little like a Libra that's gotten burned, right? But he was born with Mars, Neptune, and Mercury in Libra. So talking about being idealistic with that Neptune in Libra, but also Mars. He wants to work for it. He wants to make it happen. He's motivated by the idea that the scales truly can get adjusted. But no doubt he's had those experiences. And so he is saying, life isn't fair. Get used to it. But that doesn't mean he's going to stop trying, which brings me to the next thing I really wanted to talk about. And I'm saying this for a couple of reasons. You know, when I was talking about that synchronicity, well, I've been, of course, one of the things I do whenever there's some changes in the cosmos with any of the planets, I'm automatically looking up the life stories of people that were born with that kind of energy. And so one of the people I was looking at was T.S. Eliot, who, you know, is a poet, among other things, and looking at some of his poetry and looking at, you know, his life, because he was born with Mercury in Libra. And then I'm, you know, and here again, you know, is it just intuition, whatever it is? I had gotten a book by Hillary Clinton, her book, What Happened, which is reflections on the 2016 election. And I don't know, I tried to read it before and it just wasn't hitting it, you know. In fact, it was just making me so sad I couldn't read it. But anyway, all of a sudden I wanted to read it. And so I'm listening to this book, actually, I'm listening to it on tape. And all of a sudden she's talking about T.S. Eliot. And so I just have to laugh because it's like, that's how life works. Listen to your intuitions. And I'm like, really? She's talking about T.S. Eliot? But what she talks about in this particular section, which once again, I just heard it, is it sounds to like Mercury in Libra to me. or at least partially. I mean, I could, no matter what is going on, I could probably attach it to that. But she talks about a family motto that she learned as a child that she feels like is a family motto. And she calls it, get caught trying. And the idea, of course, is a paraphrase of a T.S. Eliot poem that is called The Four Quartets, Section 2, which is called East Coker. Now, you know, I'm not an analyst of poetry whatsoever, and I hope I am figuring out what Hillary was, you know, talking about here. But what I think she's suggesting, and when I went back and read the poem, it's like the idea that it's the process, not the eventual outcome, that we're often looking for in terms of finding meaning in our lives. And that's the key. Finding meaning in our lives is almost always what we're looking for. You know, on some psychological level, we don't want to think that this is a whole mistake. We just got dumped here. What are we doing here? What's this all about, Alfie, right? So it's the process, not the eventual outcome. So this idea of get caught trying, do the impossible, and do you just stop and not try something because it's hard or because you think it's never going to happen? And so once again, I'm relating that back to Mercury and Libra, because it's sort of like, just because I can't imagine peace on earth doesn't mean I don't strive for it. And maybe especially in times of a lot of upheaval or stress, we need words of inspiration. We need to be able to look to heroes or people doing something to kind of tell us there is another way. We can lift ourselves up. We can be motivated. And I think Mercury in Libra is part of that. Looking to our heroes, looking to those people who are making the world a better place or are doing something that we aspire to doing. And that really hits home for me because, quite honestly, even though I've got a lot of perseverance and tenacity, I often think I look at something and if I'm not ever going to be any good at it, or I just know I can't master it, sometimes I don't even try. Now, that's kind of an embarrassing thing to admit, but it's true. It's kind of like, no, I'm going to go after something, you know, that just really grabs me, that I'm passionate about, and that I think I can be good at. But, you know, that's it. It's like, are you willing to, and I'm not suggesting that we go after things that we're not interested in, but just that idea, are we willing to get caught trying? Okay, so what if we don't make it? So what if it doesn't happen? We're not the best, or we don't get elected. You know, it doesn't happen for us. Are we willing to get caught trying something? Are we? You know, so I love that. And like I said, the synchronicity of looking up T.S. Eliot and actually finding a bunch of quotes from him and then hearing her talk about this poem in her book, I thought, thank you. That's how life works. When you open up your intuition or just open up and say, you know what, I'm willing. What is my lesson today? What's going to happen? You know, where are we going today? And what do I need to know? And by the way, Alishea, that post in Facebook of the dog in the blue bucket or whatever, it's a swimming pool. That is wonderful. I love that. Talk about joyful stuff. That's really, so if you guys are over in Facebook, go check out that picture. It's really cute. But in any case, get caught trying something. Are we willing to do that? Or do you kind of go my way, which is, I'm never going to be good at that. I'm going to try something else. You know, it just makes me think, and maybe I'm never going to change that. You know, but you know me, when I get a bone, I go for it. Like the astrology or Tarot, when I really get a hold of something, I am going to go for it. So the next thing I kind of wanted to segue into, though, is this idea, because once again, and this is kind of like my little rabbit hole, I start looking at all the people who have Mercury and Libra, and I start looking, what did they do in their lives? Who are these people? And so I get caught, you know, go from one person to the next and one idea to the next, which I love, because that's a Mercury thing, connecting the dots. But one of the things that kind of came to me as I was looking at somebody is this idea that, how do we control our thinking by the language that we use? And, you know, if any of you who have been studying metaphysics or just been around any kind of spirituality, you know that a lot of times, you know, we talk about the ideas that true wisdom, it just can't be captured in words. It can't be expressed in words. That's not exactly the way it works. And I know as a Pisces, I often feel that. I mean, I certainly use a lot of words, but you know, sometimes I'm thinking of something and I go, I don't have the faintest idea how to express this to somebody else. I don't even know what I want to express. I'm just sitting in this feeling. I'm just sitting in some kind of little, you know, little place. I don't have the faintest idea. If you said to me, what are you thinking about? I couldn't tell you because I don't know how to put it into words. It's more of a feeling. It's something else. But also there are a number of people who, you know, as I went down this rabbit hole, I came across this guy named Benjamin Lee Whorf. And now he did not have Mercury in Libra. In fact, he has it in Taurus, and it's opposing Saturn and Uranus, which is pretty significant because it means he was really disrupting the status quo. Well, and unfortunately, he died very early at the age of 41. So many of his theories, in a sense, he had put down these theories and he'd been known for a particular theory that he had developed with a mentor, which is called, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but the Saper-Whorf hypothesis. Saper was his, or Sapor, I don't know how you say it, but that was his mentor. They came up with this hypothesis that says the structures of different languages actually shape how we perceive and conceptualize the world. Now think about that. Depending on the language that you're speaking, that you understand, that you know, it can actually shape your perception and conceptualization of the world. And, you know, in a similar vein, think about it. I've always heard that the Eskimos have dozens and dozens of words for snow. And I grew up in Colorado, and I can tell you there's a lot of different words that all mean snow. You know, it's just the kind of snow it is, and whether it's going to be good for skiing or whether it's going to be good for something else, and what's it going to be like to shovel it. So where it, you know, language develops according to what, I mean, you could say what's the chicken or the egg, because do we develop the language because of the environment we're in, or does the environment we're in develop the language? I'm not sure. And like I said, I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole here, but just thinking about that idea about how whatever our thoughts are become beliefs and the beliefs become, you know, personal philosophies. Well, how does anything else get in if we don't have a word for it? And what do we do? And, you know, and the truth is, we know this. Our language changes all the time. I mean, would you have heard the word influencer like 20 years ago? And I'm not saying you wouldn't, but there are just so many things that the digital age, the electronic age, the way we communication through, you know, the way we communicate through the various social media, it's changed the way we think. It's changed the language that we use. And sometimes I wonder if it's a problem because, you know, having spent, I don't know, months, years of my life in a Catholic grade school where grammar and English was just drilled into you. I will admit, sometimes I have a really hard time when sentences don't have, you know, the proper construction. And in fact, sometimes I kind of force myself to not do the proper construction because I realize that's old school. That's not how people are actually thinking and talking right now. And I can argue forever about, well, that's not appropriate. You don't end the sentence with a preposition. You don't do this, that, or the other thing. But you know what? It's not how we are. Life changes, language changes, and Mercury has a lot to do with language. So once again, this week, you know, it's been Mercury, you know, just really thinking about that kind of stuff. And in fact, I don't know, is it Goethe, whatever, you know, Johann Wolfgang, he actually said, those who know nothing of a foreign language know nothing of their own. And I thought that was interesting too, and I really do believe it's true. Unfortunately, at least in the United States and actually all over Europe, I'm amazed how many people in foreign countries know English or know other languages, probably more so than we do here in the United States. But we're almost always exposed to foreign languages through school, or we have to, you know, we have to study a foreign language. And I think it's very positive because it makes us think. I think it definitely does, like, help reroute the things in the brain. makes us really think about things. In fact, I've been studying a language for the past year on an app, and mostly just to entertain myself. And, you know, as I watch my little dog in the yard, because he can't be out there alone because of the coyotes, so I have to find something to do. And sometimes I think, okay, so I'm studying a foreign language. And of course, what I will admit, what kind of drives me crazy is in this particular language, everything, tables, chairs, whatever, they're either assigned to being a feminine or to a masculine category, which means that things like or the change from feminine to masculine to plural. And I, you know, and literally one day I said, do we have to have 15 different versions of or the? But apparently we do, you know, and there is a part of me that drives me crazy. But see, it makes me think. You know, it definitely makes me think, and it also makes me wonder, how did we come up with those kind of things? And why did English get rid of a lot of that? You know, because I'm not saying we don't classify anything that way. We obviously have niece and nephew and, you know, son and daughter and all that kind of stuff. But we don't assign it to inanimate objects so much. But once again, it just makes you think, and it also makes you think about how you structure, you know, just your whole life based on the language. And, you know, it is intriguing. Like in English, I always think of the adjectives as coming before, you know, the noun. This is a pretty girl. Well, in the language I'm studying now, it's girl pretty. And so those kind of things, it just makes you think. But it also challenges you on right and wrong. Because, of course, automatically I'm going, well, that's wrong. Why would you put the adjective afterwards? You know, why would you do that? And it's like, well, who said? You know, whose rules are they? So this is all about our thinking, and anything that we do that stretches how we think and how we're looking at the universe can be, you know, it's a mercury kind of thing, and it's worth paying attention to. So maybe that's all I'm asking or kind of pointing out this week as we go through lots of stuff, is Mercury is really giving us an opportunity. He's knocking at our door and just saying, just think, just open up, just see what's going on. So I'd say as you think about Mercury, think about what the lenses or the filters are that you use. And when something doesn't sound right, like for instance, if somebody does use incorrect grammar or they say something odd, do you automatically go into judgment? You know, that's the Catholic school kid in me for sure. But what are the lenses and the filters that we use? And also, in what ways do we stretch ourselves by being open to new things? Learning new things. And what are the screens that we go, no, that's a bridge too far. You know, I'm not willing to get that far out of my comfort zone. And how do we, you know, what is the price that we pay if we keep a really tight control on how we see something or how something has to be? And once again, I think language plays a part of this. It's not just in our behavior, but also think about that Libra really is an artist. Here again, she's related to Venus. So we can find artistic ways to use Mercury in Libra. And it may not be words at all. Maybe it's dancing and music and sculpture and painting or something cultural. Maybe it's floral design. Maybe it's interior design. There's all kinds of ways and things that we can think about with Mercury sitting in Libra. So I'm not going to get to any of those quotes because obviously, you know, we went down that rabbit hole and we'll see. Hopefully it gave you some things to think about. But I want to thank you all for being here today. I will finish with one quote from T.S. Eliot. For last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice. And to make an end is to make a beginning. So I'll leave you with those words. Thanks for joining me today. Everybody, thanks for being in the chat room and to everybody who's listening to this live or listening to it in our on-demand section on 1-2 Radio. Thanks to our producer, Jay Varvel, and I would encourage you to stay tuned for Empowerment, which is coming up next with Kelly Whetstone. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 1-2 Radio, where we are really thinking about how Mercury influences and changes the way we listen to the world.